I'm Sarah Moyer. Looking at yesterday's grain markets, we have some news there. And to help out with that, we have K-State's Dan O'Brien. He is a grain market economist based out of Colby, Kansas. And thank you for coming on and speaking with us, Dan.
Sure, Sarah. No problem.
Let's begin with the feed grain market and what's going on there. There's been some interesting developments as far as the position of traders and what we're seeing, as well as, of course, those prices. So will you tell us how the overall grain markets are looking? What are some general trends that have been going on that you've noticed?
Overall, sort of a down day in the markets. I think there are some growing weather concerns, or at least some things to watch in the various commodity markets. Futures are now relative to the lows that they've seen in the past, and you know, that's pretty important information.
Dan, speak to what feed grains are doing now.
We've seen some run-up in feed grain markets, especially when you compare to where we were about a month ago. After the January report, we closed about 358 or so for the futures. Well, here, the February 9th report, about a week past, we're at about 376. It's kind of an indicator of a combination of decent usage and some movement in the export side. And the week ending February the 9th, the USDA came out yesterday with their official numbers. We'd exported just under 50 million bushels, about 49.3, and we need a pace of about 47 through the rest of this marketing year ending August 31st to actually hit the USDA's projection of about 2.25 billion. So, yeah, lots of numbers to throw around, but the key point is that we're coming into a time frame when, in February, when we would hope we'd be moving corn in the export channels, and gracious, we actually are. And with that, it's been a point of support for the market. Some of the strength in U.S. exports has to do with some Brazilian currency strength that hurts their competitiveness in terms of export prices, and gosh, it's been pushing business our way. I'd also add in on grain sorghum, we had a pretty good export week. The week ending February the 9th, we had actually shipped 6 million bushels of grain sorghum here from the U.S., and we need a pace of about 4.6 to meet the USDA's projection of 225 million. So that's also good news. Really positives on both those major U.S. feed grains. And again, those are enterprises that are pretty important to us here in Kansas and that we have gained about a quarter or so from where we were about a month ago is a very positive thing for us and gives us some, I guess, positive signals as to where the trend as we head off into spring might go with those same corn and grain sorghum prices. Well, and along with the positive export news, I think you're seeing also reflected in the position of traders, again, position of traders information put out by the CFTC, that the managed money or the more speculatively oriented traders are actually turning more to the positive here within the last month. Seems of late here, they've moved more towards the positive. So it's interesting that the commercial positions have grown to the negative side. So they're hedging that much more. I think those two kind of work opposite one another. We've actually seen the net position go from a strong negative of about 800 to 900 million bushels to slightly positive, about 150 to 100 million bushels, something like that. And you know, that trend is heading in the right direction. We're sitting here in February in, here in Kansas and throughout the Corn Belt. We don't necessarily have lots of abundant moisture available. You see weather forecasts. Again, although they're, quote, iffy and questionable as you sit here today and try to figure out what's going to happen in May, June, July. But still, those forecasts are pointing for some pretty dry conditions. Heading off from here in Kansas off into Missouri and parts of Iowa and Illinois. So, again, too early to really bang the drum that, gosh, we're going to have a weather market. But that those forecasts are there raises the stakes just a little bit and raises awareness about what could happen this summer. And if anything, just reminds people of the risk of a short crop and what it would do to these supply-demand balances and prices. And it's probably a positive reminder, at least from the selling side, of what we need to represent as we figure on a market clearing price for December corn futures.
And another grain that would be affected if the weather happens to play one way or the other, that's obviously to be determined. But in the wheat markets, what are we seeing?
Well, I think the wheat markets are reflecting just what you talked about, Sarah, in terms of the weather. You know, again, warm temperatures, the possibility of breaking dormancy early, the need for rain, all in play, and some long-term forecasts for dry conditions in the central Corn Belt. You know, we've had The U.S. Drought Monitor had shown pretty strong expansion up until about 2 weeks ago, then had receded a little bit, and now it's back to showing a good portion of Oklahoma, western Kansas, and down into Texas and eastern Colorado, and up to the north into Nebraska as being in a drought-prone area, extreme drought area. As we keep moving from here forward towards April and May, if those forecasts are still in place, they'll have more weight. So something to watch. And those are some of the prime areas that we grow hard red winter wheat at here in the United States. And with that, from the supply side, has been supportive to the market. Again, we're looking at Kansas City hard red winter wheat prices yesterday closing about 463. About a month ago, they were at about 446. So anyway, another 20 cents or so also in the wheat market. Exports for hard red winter wheat have actually been pretty positive. The exports for hard red winter wheat have been doing better than for wheat overall. About 8.3 million bushels shipments for the week ending February the 9th. We need a pace of about 10 to meet the USDA's projection of about 425 million bushels of exports. One thing that I hold in mind in looking at that number is that USDA just raised that number from 400 to 425. So we're moving the goalposts a little bit in terms of what we call really hot exports, but still that's the number for hard red winter wheat represents about 60-65% of all wheat exports coming out of the United States. And for us in hard red country, we're pretty happy to see wheat piles actually move. And when you look at the position of traders, you do see still a fair amount of negativity in terms of what speculative traders are considering to be the position that they want to hold in the wheat market. Again, I think that can change pretty quickly as we move from here off into the spring. We have questions about whether we break dormancy or not. We put ourselves at risk on the production side, heading off into March, April to any type of a cold snap that could affect production. Combine that with some decent movement in the wheat export market, and you know you can build a case that there's some positive perspective now creeping into the wheat market, and we're, I guess, from we in Kansas as wheat sellers, largely on the production side, all those positive bits of potential news are welcome.
Certainly. And if we change gears here yet again and speak to the soybeans market, what are you seeing there, Dan?
Soybean market, similar to the other crops that we just looked at, again, corn, grain, sorghum, and wheat. Again, compared to about a month ago, wheat futures, the March contract closed about 1051, 1052 yesterday. It was about 1040 a month ago. So it's showing some decent support. Exports still holding above the pace needed to meet the USDA's projection, had pushed out about 42 million bushels the week ending February the 9th, and need about 23 throughout the rest of the year to meet the USDA's projection of about 2.05 billion. Of course, the big issue with all that is that the South American crop is coming on, should be available to export here pretty quickly, but on the margin, the higher Brazilian currency is probably going to keep us in the United States in that market all that much longer and keep us as a competitive seller to China, the European Union, and others that are major buyers. So, again, pretty good news in the soybean market. We're not receiving any signals of major crop problems in Brazil. Still questions, I think, about what will ultimately result in Argentina with the excessive moisture conditions that they've had, et cetera. But right now, again, every indication is that the losses in Argentina are at least partially offset by the strong crop coming out of Brazil. What we'll have avoided is a drought somewhere down there or a major problem that would jump us up $1 or $2 in the soybean market and then really put the onus on corn versus soybean acreage as we get into planting season here in the United States in April and May. So as of yet, that potential event in corn and soybean markets affecting planting hasn't really happened yet, but we'll sure be watching to see what farmers are thinking about the profitability of corn versus soybean. Basically, as we are sitting on our planters about May the 1st, would be one way to look at it.
And those numbers there are from yesterday's markets, and we'll be watching again, as Dan said, to the future to see what those hold as more factors are playing out. And so thank you for coming on and speaking with us today, Dan.
Thanks, Sarah. Take care.
That was Dan O'Brien. He is a grain market economist for K-State, and he's giving us the latest on the wheat, feed grain, and soybean markets. Additionally, Dan O'Brien is involved as a presenter in the upcoming grain marketing strategy workshops that are taking place at 4 locations across the state in the next couple weeks. Those dates and locations are as follows. On Tuesday, February 21st, Scott City will be hosting. Wednesday, February 22nd, the location is St. Francis. Thursday of next week, the 23rd, Waukini plays host. And finally, the fourth location is Lynn on Friday, March 3rd. For more information on those, you can contact Rich Llewellyn in K-State's Agricultural Economics Department or visit agmanager.info. I'm Sarah Moyer.